Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. JD Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Welcome back, Keith Clark, who's been at the beach for a couple months.
Gonna go back next month.
Are you? Retired life is
getting
good.
Close.
It's close.
No, I gotta come in and do the radio show periodically.
Yes.
Stay in touch.
Be plugged in.
Yeah, I don't wanna sit around and not be productive.
Well,
in my newsletter, I said productive and patience.
Yes. You got the patience part down.
That's no, that's
for sure.
True. And that hasn't always been true.
That's right. That's right. Well, welcome back. We're glad you've been here. Roger Nix from Keller Williams sat in for you last week and did a great job, as usual. So we had a couple good laughs and talk some real estate, and plenty to talk about. We have a lot of topics today that we'll hit on. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are...
We're recording on Wednesday. They're on their way to the football game, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yes. That's
along
correct.
With you.
Yes. Well, I'm not going. It's member
really?
Weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I'm not going to go to the game. I have a feeling that the dogs are going to
You think
are gonna
they
do
are?
It. Yeah, they're going to do it. They look good.
What's
the
line?
Couple
do
weeks.
You know what the line is?
Like 24 or something like that? Yeah. Big
well, they
number.
Should win.
Big number, Keith. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
In the 2023 season for the PGA starts this week.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
The wraparound?
The Fortinet. They're at Silverado.
Okay.
You've been to Silverado. I've been to Silverado.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, that's our rent district.
Yeah.
So next week I'll be at Quail Hollow for the President's Cup. Yeah. So we're having our annual high school golf getaway, and we decided to do
in
Charlotte.
The VIP section.
Yeah, actually, you know what? We do have VIP tickets, so life should be
I'll
good.
I'll be watching.
Yeah,
I'll
it should be fun.
I'll be looking for you.
Yep, I'll be the guy with the golf shirt on. And that's a joke. Everybody looks the same at those golf events, but it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
And of course, as Saturday, this show airs on Saturday, but we're recording on Wednesday. And yesterday was a wild ride. The CPI came out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. It's been a wild ride, and the thing about it is we're obviously, like you mentioned, we're recording on Wednesday, and it was a wild ride yesterday when the CPI came out. But who knows what's going to happen the rest of the week.
By Saturday,
maybe
could change
news.
Dramatically.
Yes.
But you're going to do an interest rate update in the third segment.
Yeah, start at the bottom of the hour, we'll give an interest rate update. And actually, there was a major reaction yesterday, and then it actually came back a little bit towards the end of the day. I think there was a overcorrection kind of thing, the panic in the streets kind of thing, and yesterday afternoon it kind of settled. So
it did a little bit, but I looked at the 5-minute chart.
Yeah, JD, I saw
in
that.
The middle, it was a big red bar for everybody.
Sure,
but in the middle of the day it flattened a little bit on the 5-minute chart, and then at the end of the day it coasted down.
Yeah.
Now, this morning, Wednesday, I think it's up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't expect that to hold.
No, I don't disagree. And, of course, we do have the real estate numbers for the month of August. The final numbers are in, and we've got some news to share. A little surprising on some aspects, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We've got some great you sent me a couple great articles we're going to talk about as well, some about home inspections and some of those types of things. I thought that was a great article. And, of course, we have our email questions as well. We got an email question this week, which should be good. So we'll talk about that as well. But a lot of things going on for sure. You're listening to House Plans. JD Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. If you do ever have a question that you would like to send to us, you can do that by just emailing askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We love our all our listeners and our email questions that we get. And I'll tell you, Keith, one thing I will say, too, kind of before we got about a minute left here in the segment. How about this weather? Isn't it fantastic?
Yeah, I was wrong about, I thought this part of the fall would come a little early.
Yeah.
And it didn't really. It's right on time.
It is. It's perfect timing. I'll tell you, I got it. My dog wakes me up usually around 6:30, and so I'll get on up and I'll walk both of them down the street and all that kind of stuff. And it just felt wonderful. I mean, it was cool, a little brisk in the air. And then, of course, by midday it gets up in the high 70s, 80s, maybe low 80s. And to me, this is like, No, if this you could just perfect. Bottle this up. Yeah. It doesn't last long, but when it does, it is great for sure. So, well, listen, we're going to head into our first break. We do appreciate you listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson again from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Of course, the email is open at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And, of course, you can always reach us during the week at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And we'll be back right after this talking here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Appreciate Keith Clark coming in today. Been enjoying himself at the beach and back in the chair talking a little real estate today. And Keith, I know we anxiously awaited the way the month fell. You know, it's almost middle of the month now when we're recording, but we did get the August numbers and a few surprises, really, for what we thought maybe was going to happen across the board. Some things we predicted and other things were a little bit of a surprise.
JD, particularly with all the bad news. So all you see in the headline news is that the real estate market is getting hammered.
Yep.
And we've been right so far.
Correct.
About our market holding up relatively well through what some would consider an already existing recession.
Nobody wants to admit it.
That nobody acknowledges.
Yeah.
But it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
But as the Great Migration continues, this part of the country is going to hold up a little bit better than some other parts.
Well, when the Fed chair says, you know, Americans need to prepare for pain.
Yeah.
And uses
How about
that word.
That? Yeah.
Okay, listen, because I don't know about this. There's only one person that can mix their words exactly the way they need to, besides a termite inspector, is the Fed chair.
Yeah.
They're very cautious about what they say. And when they say Americans are going to feel pain, okay, guess what that means?
Yeah,
that
they mean chose a Band-Aid. That word carefully.
Correct. So, but let's talk about the numbers. I was a little surprised, probably the biggest surprise on the paper, for the Greenville market. These are from GGAR. Slightly up, 7 more sales than we had this time last year. So half a percent, I mean, basically the same. But
negligible.
Yeah.
But having said that, we would have expected a downturn by now in terms of the number of transactions.
And we've had that the last 2 months.
But just a little bit.
Right, right.
We haven't had a significant decrease. And here we are level. And remember, that previous number from last year, J.D., remember, that would be a record number of transactions.
Right.
So technically, this month would be a record August for the MLS.
Yeah, how about that? And, of course, that basically we're down 0.3% year-over-year, year-to-date numbers, excuse me. But basically about the same, only 35 houses less sold over a year's time period, 11,547 last year, 11,512 this year.
Yep, and 1,552 transactions in August.
Yep.
And that's a lot of transactions, JD.
It is. Now, days on market remained flat, 21 days, which is still a very aggressive number for sure. So we're seeing that. And how about that median sales price, Keith?
Yep, it just keeps going and going. And we keep saying it's unsustainable, but every new print shows us that there's a 15% increase year over year in terms of the price.
Yeah, and one thing that I would say is, you know, with the median sales price, it was 270 last year, 310 this year, up 14.8%. But year to date, 301 is the median sales price, up 17%.
Yeah.
That's big.
And if you count that 4 years in a row, which is this year will be 4 years, you're looking at the average home going up 60% over 4 years.
Americans are, or I should say this, Greenvillians at least, are equity rich.
They
no
are.
About
now,
it.
We saw an article this week, by the way, that said last month everyone's net worth went down.
Yep.
So that's probably going to change over the next year as we
Well, 401ks, I mean, you open your statement up and you know, 25-30% is gone. Yeah, it's disappeared. You know, Jennifer actually looked at it, my wife, and said, "What happened?"
Right.
You know, I'm like, that's what the news is, what
yeah,
you've been hearing about.
If you turn
about.
On the news once in a while, you'll know that things are crumbling around us.
That's exactly right. Percentage of house Percentage of list price received, Keith, 99.5, down below 100% for the first time.
Yeah, yeah, it's just
not a surprise.
Yeah, yeah, and that's going to go down, JD. That's going to continue to go down. But there's still excess demand. Even with the supply going up, we have excess demand. And so when you have excess demand, you don't have as many multiple offer deals, but you still have enough to keep the list price to sales price relatively high.
Absolutely. Months of inventory up 100% to 2.8. That's year over year. And no surprise there. We've kind of been talking about that and expecting those numbers. And I think when that number gets up a little bit higher, I think that's when you're going to see that median sales price level off like we talked about. We both kind of agree, I think, that we will not see a downturn, especially here in Greenville, because of the nature of our market.
In the immediate future, the near future, next year, we can't really predict what's going to happen next year, particularly if they continue to raise interest rates.
Yeah, absolutely. So interesting there. Well, let's talk about Charleston, because those numbers were astonishing. Year over year, down 24%, of course, down almost 13% for the year in number of transactions.
And that was the big surprise. That's the big number that jumped out at me. And all these statistics that we review is that Charleston had such a significant decrease in the number of transactions because the median price remained high and increased. Yep. But the number of transactions, and that could change, that could move the needle rather quickly.
Yeah, of course, they only sold 80 more houses in the Greenville, the Greenville market.
And we've been creeping up on them for a long time, JD.
Yeah.
So historically, if you go back 15, 20 years, they were doing three times the number of transactions that we were. Mm-hmm. Now, they cover a five-county area, and we really only cover about a county and a half.
Right.
But if you were to include Spartanburg and Western Upstate, we'd be larger than that.
Yeah, absolutely. So closed sales down 24%, 13% on the year. As you mentioned, Keith, median sales price up 10%, $395,900. And, of course, year-to-date, $396,600. Pretty good size.
Year over year, year to date, up 15%.
Yep. Percentage of original price received at 98.2%, similar to what our numbers are, maybe slightly lower. Interesting there. And, of course, inventory up to 1.6 months. So they finally are starting to head the other way. It seems like they were going down for some time.
And they got below one. Remember,
yeah,
they got below one.
Yeah, very interesting there. Well, let's move on to Spartanburg. Of course, Spartanburg only down 1.5%, 529 closed sales, basically even for the year, 39-13 and then 39-10 year-to-date 2022. Numbers looking, median sales price up, percentage of list price received 99%, inventory up 2.5 months. So, kind of more of the same
it
in Spartanburg.
Is. Yeah, very similar to us.
Yep. And then Western Upstate, Keith, what do you think about the Western Upstate?
Well, as you see, JD, the number of transactions went down, but not significantly, right?
Yeah.
Down 2.8%, 586 over last year's 605, and then year-to-date down 2.5%. So not significant yet.
Yep.
Until probably summer of next year. Median price, more the same, up 14%, $265,000 over last year's $232,500. More the same, 99% list price to sales price. But the number that jumps out is a doubling of inventory from 1.6 months to 3 months.
3 months supply.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, JD, when we get to four, you're going to see things change just a little bit.
Yeah. That's
the buyer is in the game a little bit.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Where they
have
not been for about 5 years.
Yeah, well, I agree with you 100%. Of course, Greenwood up basically one transaction, basically even year over year, and they are up about 3% on the year. Inventory down 2.1 months. Of course, it's a smaller market down there. But median sales price, 224, that's up about, 17% year over year. So even in smaller markets like Greenwood, you're seeing, an increase in median sales price.
Yeah, there's excess demand really in most of the country. The big markets have begun to change a little bit, JD. San Francisco, Chicago, Atlanta. Things are changing a little bit, but they don't know how many of their residents are relocating to Greenville, South Carolina.
Right, right. Very, very interesting. Well, Keith, I'll tell you, these numbers, it's kind of what we expected, but I was a little surprised at the number of transactions here in Greenville actually being higher than last year, especially with some of the record numbers. Median sales price has continued to go up. We're two-thirds of the way now through 2022. What are you thinking for the as we head to the finish? I expect us to probably be down from
by the
last
end of the year.
Yeah, maybe
it is,
a percent
or two.
But
you know what? The big wild card, JD, is still interest rates.
Yeah.
If we don't control interest rates, and the Fed has to hammer down inflation. And if interest rates reach that 6.5%, 7%, you're going to see that excess demand cool off.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, Keith. It's when you sent me that text yesterday with the interest rate, you saw the rates on the TV, and we're a little bit south of that in terms of those are more, I think, some of the national rates that you see and that kind of thing.
That's not a significant survey.
But when you see that six up there, that makes a
And you know, the Fed meets next Wednesday, JD, and the 0.75 point is baked in.
Yeah.
An increase. And so now, for the first time in quite a while, people are wondering if they're going to do 100 basis points next week.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they were talking on the news this morning, it reminds me of the word patience that you used. And, the question that this news person asked was, okay, we've had, two or three increases now. We're expecting another increase, next week. When are we going to start seeing some results from that? And of course, it's not instantaneous. You don't just raise rates 100 basis points and all of a sudden everything's, it takes 3 or 4 months.
That's right. And these statistics, by the way, are August statistics.
Yeah.
So this increase could have an impact on September.
Yeah, it could. No doubt about it. And of course, as they raise those rates, the prime rate now would be over 6%. And I still predict if rates can hang in there okay and not get too high, I'm really expecting us to see a lot more refinances in regards to debt consolidations, especially as we head into 2023. As you mentioned, with the recession and inflation, all the money that people are spending on groceries and gas and all the different things, everything costs more these days. You're going to start to see more pressure. People starting to use credit cards more. And so I think that'll create some opportunities, especially with values being so high and people being what I call quote unquote equity rich.
Yep. And last month there was a significant decrease in that typical median family net worth. And we'll expect to see that over the next year or so as we slip deeper into what most people would call an existing recession.
Well, this is probably a good time to throw the interest rates out there before we get to the bottom of the hour break. So our 30-year fix yesterday, Keith, was right at 5.9%. I know you saw 6.25%. I heard right around that on TV. 20-year fixed, floating around those mid-fives and, the 5.625 range. 15-year fix now right at 5.625. Starting to see a little bit of jump on the 15-year, and it's now out of the fours. And of course, the jumbo rates are, a little bit lower than that, 5.375. And one of the investors that we sell a good bit of jumbo actually came back, and they are actually lowering their jumbo rates a little bit.
And that's a little bit surprising, isn't it?
It is a little bit, yeah. And I think it may be that they're trying to pick up volume. People are trying to find volume anywhere that they can that are in the mortgage industry right now, just because it's slowed down, so much in terms of refinances and that sort of thing. And our government loans are still, around that 5.5, 5.625 range, VAs, USDAs, FHAs, as far as 30-year, fixed goes. So, rates are definitely on the rise, and it'll be interesting to see here over the next few months where we end up, at year end.
And what I've noticed, JD, is the clients that I'm interacting with are considering buying the rate down.
Yeah.
Which we just have not seen that in such a long time.
A lot of that going on because selling their house. They've got more money than they typically would have, so they're going to take that money and buy the rate down for sure. So, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to House Plans. This is J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Cart with me from the Buyer's Broker. When we come back, we've got some home inspection and appraisal things that we're going to talk about. It's going to be really good. So stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Appreciate everyone listening in today. We are talking real estate and mortgage lending today. We had a great conversation about some of the real estate numbers that we've seen around the area in the month of August. And, you know, Keith, one of the things, the market obviously has stayed pretty strong, especially here in the upstate. One thing I wanted to talk a little bit about today, and you had found some articles that you sort of shared with me earlier in the week, we have seen some regret with people overpaying, and you know, we saw waiving the appraisal contingency, waiving inspections. The market got so crazy there when people were desperate for homes, and you know, it's kind of interesting. 94%. Let me start by saying this. It is failing to disclose home defects is against the law, and when you sell a home, you have a seller's disclosure that you're supposed to disclose to any potential buyer any issues with the home that you are aware of.
That's right, JD. So in South Carolina, for a number of years, we've had what we call a seller's disclosure statement. The formal name is a property condition statement that the seller completes when they put their home on the market. And in most instances, the buyer has to see it and sign it before they sign a contract.
Yep.
And historically, it is beneficial to the buyer, to the agent, and we believe it's beneficial to the seller to fully disclose.
Absolutely.
Now, we know in many instances that sellers do not disclose.
What?
Some
what?
Of the things.
You got to be kidding me, Keith.
That they may be aware of.
Well, 94% of sellers don't disclose property defects, according to this article. 94%,
that's right.
Keith.
That's pretty high.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Our sellers need to listen, okay?
Yeah. And so what we've seen is over the last 4 or 5 years, a number of or a high percentage of home buyers have regrets about the way they purchased that home. They may have waived their appraisal. They may have waived their home inspection in order to make their offer more attractive to the seller.
Yep.
And if the seller didn't disclose that you had rotten fascia board or water underneath the house and you didn't do a home inspection, then you might not discover that for months afterwards. Now, that's a little bit unusual.
Sure.
Most of the defects in a property can be visually inspected by the purchaser. But if you've got a 20-year-old HVAC and it looks like it's 10 years old, that's a big difference.
Well, absolutely. Of course, the three main areas that buyers found issues after closing are electrical, fixtures and plumbing. And, that's no surprise. I mean, those are three of the big, the big
items. Yeah, and particularly electrical, JD, because the
88%.
Yeah, the durability of a home obviously can be 50, 100 years or more.
Right.
And so many times the electrical doesn't get updated for maybe 50 years.
Yeah.
And so many of the standards of practice and or building codes, I don't think we had building codes till about the mid-50s.
Right, right.
So you see a significant difference in the type of construction when you go back into homes that were built before the 50s.
Which, when you go to downtown Greenville, most
sure.
of those homes were built before then.
Well,
many
homes on the east side, north side,
yeah.
were built in the 70s, 60s as Greenville was expanding.
Sure.
And so if the electrical hasn't been updated, then you'll see double spliced breakers, which is one of the common problems, or particularly when I think the ground wires are put in the same pole inside the electrical panel.
Yep.
Very common, but in today's building codes, they're not allowed to do those things.
Yeah, of course, exterior structures was another area. And then you get into what I call the water Okay, you got leaks, basement, water damage, exterior facade, mold and termites. Now, that all has to do with, that's your water problems right
water
there.
Water is the enemy.
Yep. It was very interesting. So 94% of sellers don't disclose property defects. I thought that was an astonishing number.
It really is. And you know, it's been a pet peeve of mine for many, many, many years.
Well, and then, you know, another article that you sent me that I thought was very interesting talks about waiving the home inspection. Don't blame me. And I thought that was great.
Well, we have our own document. It's an right. extra document yeah. if you decide not to get a home inspection, a survey, or, by the way, a re-inspection. How about this? Many times you'll get invoices that show that a vendor has done a repair, and if you do not re-inspect that repair, then you don't know if it was done or not. Now,
right.
I had in my own instance one time an $1,800 invoice for some repairs that were done, termite damage repair on some floor joists. And when we re-inspected JD, they absolutely had done nothing.
How about that? Touched, isn't that something?
But submitted the invoice.
Wow. That's crazy.
So anyway, the process is important. What we're talking about is not changing the prudent process of purchasing, inspecting, and re-inspecting.
Yeah. And Keith, you know, you have a very good point. You know, 6 months ago, maybe not even that far back, we were in a situation where a lot of contracts were coming in. People were waiving inspections, waiving termite inspections, because the demand was so high for homes that people wanted to get in those things without any cost. Correct. You know, people were overpaying, you know, list price. There's still some of that going on, but waiving that home inspection. And, you know, like you say, you know, that always kind of made me raise my eyebrows a little bit because, you know, I mean, this is going to be the largest financial purchase you're going to make in your life. And I understand, you know, how competition and how there were so many buyers out there competing for the same homes. But, you know, it would make me very uncomfortable to buy a home not knowing what I was going to buy.
But you're in the industry, but people that are chasing may have missed five or six homes.
Yeah.
You remember that video, Margaret was on television.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, the clients will say, well, how much should I offer?
Yeah.
And the question is, well, how bad do you want the home?
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, you're
if
right.
You're gonna, and I've never, obviously, JD, that makes me very uncomfortable.
Sure.
I've been representing buyers for 35 years.
I think it's interesting what you say. You know, you get the home inspected, even if you did. There's a list of repairs that need to be done, and you know, and somebody produces an invoice and nothing was done. I mean, that's to me, that's just crazy.
Yeah. So typically, you know, we would do a re-inspection of repairs,
yeah.
And to verify that, because a real estate transaction is unique in that you're exchanging the property, and so everything needs to be documented.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
And sometimes buyers and sellers, they the same way with their mortgage. You know, why do you need that document?
Right,
why
right.
are you going to do a re-inspection when I just paid somebody to do a home inspection? They provided me with the invoice. Why do I want to pay the home inspector to come back out
yeah.
and re-inspect the repairs?
Well, I've got a situation right now where one of a really good client of mine, they're buying a home downtown. It's a VA loan, and there was some decking on the back, and there were one board was missing, and then there were maybe one or two other boards that were probably a little less than sturdy, let's just say, and it just needed to be, you know,
well, for the VA, that's
for
required.
The VA, because it's a safety
yeah.
issue to them. And when I called him, I said, hey, man, I said, you know,
this
the loan's fine,
right.
but this has got to be done. He's like, well, we're going to tear it out afterwards anyway, and it's not an attractive deck. And I said, well, I said, you know, you can do that. That probably would cost more than going and buying two or three boards and just putting them down. I said, they don't even have to be painted. We just got to get them down because it's a safety concern. And
that shows up in the VA appraisal.
That showed in the VA appraisal, yeah. And I said, we've got to get this fixed before we can close. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what wood costs these days. I haven't shopped for wood, but, you know, I would imagine that, you know, each board is going to be $15 or $20.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to cost $60, and you got to get somebody to go out there and nail it into the thing.
sometimes you can't find them, right? Because they're too busy.
Right. So, you know, it's $300 or whatever.
And it takes up a lot of time, but it's required.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. We appreciate you listening to House Plans. When we come back, we've got a variety of different things to talk about right after this. Welcome back. Final segment of the show. Appreciate you listening in on this glorious Saturday, and appreciate you listening to House Plans. Just wanted to get the email out there one more time. AskJD@countybankmortgage.com. That's A-S-K-J-D. @countybankmortgage.com. Appreciate all our listeners out there. Of course, if you would like to reach us during the week at County Bank, you can do that at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. If you're interested in buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, or maybe even refinance and do some debt consolidations, which brings me to my email question, Keith. I have an extremely low rate on my current mortgage. I have compiled some debt in the last few months, as it seems everything is more expensive and I have kids going to college next year. Should I refinance or take out an equity line to get me some relief? That's from Shannon in Greenville. I thought that was a great question, and we're seeing more and more in that. I mentioned that earlier in the show. A lot of people have those low rates, maybe even in the twos, threes, on their first mortgage. And, of course, if you refinance, you're going to go to current market rates, which is probably going to be in the fives or maybe even the sixes on a cash out, depending on credit score and that sort of thing. So, you know, what I would tell you is this. You know, if you're dealing whatever mortgage company that you're dealing with, and I will promise you that 1-800, whoever, the big box is not going to do this. They need to be showing you multiple options. Sometimes it will be worth it to give up your low rate if you have enough debt to pay off and get it all under a fixed rate and provide yourself with monthly savings. In other situations, it may make more sense to do an equity line. Now, I will say this. The larger the equity line that you do, you know, if the Fed raises rates 100 basis points, some of those equity lines are going to be at 7% or higher, especially the ones that have a prime plus a certain percentage. So then you have to kind of look at your blended rate a little bit to figure out, okay, you know, if you've got a $100,000 equity line, you're paying 7% and it's variable, that, you know, I expect prime to continue to rise.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to sort of, you know, weigh what you got and figure out, okay, because you may not want that big of a loan on a variable rate type product, especially because the payment's going to continue to rise as the rate goes up.
That's right. So, what comes to my mind, JD, is, you know, the customized mortgage solution about finding out, hey, your individual situation, how long are you going to be in the home?
Yeah.
Which one of these loans do you want to keep longer?
Right.
Right. You may want to pay this one off sooner, particularly the HELOC in that situation.
Well, just about everybody has lots of equity in their home now, and of course you can only borrow up to 80% on what we call a cash out transaction, but most people have plenty of equity in there to pay off debts that they've accumulated and that sort of thing. She mentions also that they've got some kids going to college next year. That's not cheap, I can promise you that. I've been down that road.
I mean it.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, that part's not gonna save you any money for sure. So, you know, and they're going to be there for four, sometimes 5 years. So you have to kind of weigh that factor into the situation as well. So, you know, sitting down and doing a customized mortgage solution with County Bank or someone similar is definitely a good idea for sure when you do that. So don't just automatically assume that the equity line is the way to go. Sometimes you may want to have to give up that low rate that you've got on your first mortgage and combine those to pay off some credit cards or whatever you may have. So, now, Keith, let's talk about my little rental property. So we're getting close to the end here. And this was, you know, an article that you sent me. Demand for lower to mid-priced homes is now strongest, reversing pandemic trend. You know, and that's where this house kind of falls, you know, probably in that, you know, 250 range, plus or minus or whatever.
What we would call an entry-level home.
Right. You know, right. Three bedroom, two bath, you know, that sort of thing.
That's right. And what we've seen, JD, before the pandemic, people were buying as much as they could buy.
Yeah.
Remember, they'd buy as big a house as they could afford.
Sure.
And actually, probably not a bad idea.
Right.
And you would look like a genius if you bought the largest home you could buy 4 years ago. You would have made more than 50% equity in your home.
Yeah.
And you would have had a 3% mortgage.
Yeah, yeah, right? Right.
So that would, you would look like a genius if you had done that. Now, having said that, what we've seen as interest rates have migrated upwards is that the entry-level homes are in more demand than the larger homes right now.
Yeah.
And so we expect that to continue.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I'll be very interested. You know, we did a lot of work on this property. It needed a lot of work. We did a lot of different things, some things that we knew about, some things that we didn't know about. And, you know, we're kind of getting down to the last little brass tacks.
And, JD, we completely renovated that house.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, from the ground up, really.
Yep.
From the termites and moisture underneath the house,
yep,
all the way to the roof.
Yeah.
Painted it, new appliances, some new floor coverings, it a new deck,
yeah,
new landscaping. It was quite a project.
Well, and it's a great sort of, lack of a better word, science experiment.
It was.
Kind of in our thing.
Yep.
And I'm actually very excited to actually put it on the market just to see what type of reaction we get from the market.
I think we made a mistake. We got trapped in this supply chain,
yep,
and we didn't turn the house around as quickly as we should have.
Yeah,
and it's probably going to cost us a little money.
Yeah, and that's fine. You know, I mean, I don't sweat the small stuff on all that, but my point is, you know, putting it on the market, it's going to be very interesting to see just what type of reaction at that price point. That's the part I don't really know about for the upstate.
Yeah.
Is, you know, what type of reaction that you get and what type of traffic that you get, you know, and interest that you get on that type
of property.
And
we're going to review those numbers by the time we come on the show next week.
Yeah.
We will have went back. We've reviewed them once, but we're going to go back and review them again. I'm going to measure that house this week. We'll look at the sold data, and I think the big question is, how much demand is there for that entry level at 6% interest rates versus what there was at 3% interest?
Yeah, right. And I can't do that math in my head, and I didn't bring my calculator with me. But, yeah, the payment will be a little higher than what you would expect.
You know. But there's no supply. That's the competitive
thing.
Advantage. So, the windows.
And it's in a good location.
It is in the Five Forks area.
Yeah.
The windows took about 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks to come
in. Yeah, isn't that something? I mean, it really is amazing. You know, we personally, it was time to replace our refrigerator. We had a little issue with the door and that kind of thing, and it was just time. We've had this refrigerator now for, gosh, I don't know how long it's been. It's working fine, but, I mean, it was just time to, you know, Jennifer, I mean, we got to spend money on something, right? I mean, you know, it's just sitting there, as she says. So I called my buddy Neil down at, you know, Jeff Lynch, and I said, hey, Jennifer's, you know, going to come down there and, you know, I'm sure she'll find some furniture too that she probably wants, but we'll, if you don't mind, take care of her. And I was expecting him to say, hey, the refrigerator, you know, we can put it on order and we should have it, you know, to you by, you know, February of 24, you know, or something like that. I mean, you know, but those guys, you know, and I will speak, listen, Jeff Lynch, those guys are top shelf all the way. A lot of great people that are over there. And you know, one of the owners is a friend of mine. That's not why they did what they did. It's on order, but we should have it within 4 weeks, which I was astonished.
But still, JD, before the pandemic.
Well, that shows now. You know,
you could order that refrigerator and they deliver it
the next day.
Monday, it'd be there on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's exactly. Isn't that crazy? You know, and I think that's part of, you know, I mean, I was expecting, you know, a few months. And then when they told me 4 weeks, I'm like, well, shoot, that's not so
now,
bad.
Now, how have our expectations changed? Think about that.
Yeah, you're right.
Over the last 3 years.
Yeah, you're right about that. So, you know, it's kind of crazy for sure. But it's like that across, you know, everything, it seems. I mean, there's nothing that happens. You know, there's no immediate, satisfaction.
And we don't want to get into a deep economic conversation, but the Fed is focused on crushing demand. They want to reduce demand. But what really needs to happen is the supply chain needs to improve.
Yeah.
And when they fired all those hospital workers.
Well, the White House keeps telling me everything's fine.
No, it's all good, JD.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's the problem, right?
if we were still doing call-ins, if it was a call-in show, that would light up the
It always did, yes. That
politics
or taxes.
And taxes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, one thing I did want to share, we got about 3 minutes left here, Keith. I have been sharing this for the last couple of weeks, and we're starting to come up on it. So September the 29th, which is that is a Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m., Handbags for Hope. County Bank has been involved with this for many years. And for all our ladies that are out there listening, they call it the best girls' night out in Greenville. So here's what you do, okay, from 6 to 9. Now, I will tell you this. Good Life Catering. Shane and those guys are some of the best in town when it comes to catering. Anytime JD and Jennifer have put on anything at the house, Good Life Catering has done it. They've done a lot of our events, golf events that we've been involved in and things like that.
Kuchar cakes. So the food's going to be fantastic.
The food's going to be fantastic. Now, if you don't want to do that, you can always go downtown and get yourself a dinner and then just come over. Tickets are only $40. All the proceeds go to the Ovarian Cancer Group here in Greenville. So it's a great cause. And they're going to have a lot of different handbags, high-end handbags, things like that. So it's a great time. Pick up some girls, go down there, do you some shopping. Keith, you might even want to go pick Mary up a little bag or something like that. I mean, do something nice, okay? So I'm going to tell them that to expect you down there that night on that deal. So
I'm in,
and
JD.
I would love to do it, but I've got a conflict now. But it's a great event. I know we've got Gina and Eva and Cynthia, I think, are all planning on going. Three of our loan officers are going to be down there volunteering their time to help out. So it's a great fundraiser. Thursday, September 29th, Handbags for Hope, 6 to 9 p.m. That is at the Huguenot Loft down at the Peace Center. Ooh. Where it's going to be. So you're in high rent district. I mean, yeah. I've heard a lot of great things about this. So I am not going to send Jennifer down there because she'll come home with three or four handbags for sure. You know, I'd rather, we'll just make a donation about that. I might come out a little better if I do that. So anyway, but well, Keith, what do you say? We got about 45 seconds left. Any predictions for
well, just a good football weekend.
And yeah.
Of course, this is the annual Georgia-South Carolina game. And
yep.
Most of our listeners know I moved here from Athens in 1988.
Yep.
So yep. I'm still a dog at heart.
Georgia's riding high right now. There's
they
no doubt
good.
About it. They do look good. So they've looked good. I'm hoping the Gamecocks can show up. You know, we got beat up a little bit in Arkansas.
I watched that game.
Man, those guys, let me tell you something.
Because I had texted you. I thought we had a little wager on that game. We didn't?
No. I didn't get a text from you. I really didn't. Anyway, it's all good. Well, listen, thanks for listening in. The House Plans, we'll be back next week talking real estate. Appreciate you listening on the show.